February 19, 2019, is the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt from Pedro Show. Not with Brother Matt. Emergency came and made him unavailable. But he's here in spirit. And we'll be back next show. I'm in Pedro, but not at my pad. I'm at my prac pad. And I'm not man alone. I got Stephanie, Julia, and Meredith with me from Coat Hangers. Welcome aboard.
Hello. Thank you.
And
thank
we started the show off with Olio. Yeah. This was something live, John Coltrane. Last tour he did with Miles Davis. We start off with his own bands. And then we had the Coat Hangers doing something live from Alex's pad. He was talking about his bar on Anaheim, Long Beach, called Arthritis Sucks. And that's with an F. Hear something?
Yes.
Is that somebody's leash? Come on, sound. Okay, I want to talk about music journeys. Huh. So, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. What are we doing?
Musical journey. What's this is Julia. Your earliest musical recollection?
Oh, you know, I'm from Belarus, so my first American song, actually, that I remember knowing all the words to, I was probably five, was I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder. Aww. I was very
That's
vivid.
That's your earliest musical
memory. Yeah. I remember, like, because I didn't know what the words meant, but I remember, like, learning all the words.
And you didn't, like, you can't remember hearing a Ruski or a Belarusi?
Probably, yeah. I mean, you know, I grew
no,
up,
you know,
like,
there's no wrong answer.
Really. I grew up, of course, singing and stuff in a musical family, but just because...
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
In the pad was... Sometimes there's not even listeners, but sometimes there's listeners for parents, brothers, and sisters.
Yeah.
That are also... They partake.
Absolutely.
And when that happens, there's instruments in the pad. See, I've had, almost 18 years of this show, and everyone's music journey is different. There's not one way to do this, so that's why I always ask about the early days. So in your pad, you had musical people in your family?
Yeah, we had a piano. I've always took piano.
This is a big one, too. This is a big one, too, because some people have very bad experience with this and makes them want to quit music. Other people, it's the greatest thing in their life.
Yeah.
Well, what was piano lessons like for you?
Well, I took, my mom taught me piano because she...
Your mom was a teacher.
She knew, like, she was just very musical. They were
What's it like to have? Because I know about people who, ladies,
yes,
for example, their fathers or brother tried to teach them driving stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught five women, two of my sisters. Yeah, and I had, you got to have patience, right? And he's like, ah! So... You had a good experience with your mom.
You know, it's funny because my sister did not. She doesn't play anymore because she was, like, forced to do it, but I really liked it.
Okay, so
I
same
continued.
Situation,
yeah.
But you both mm-hmm. reacted different.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
What about at school? Did they have the, were you in choir?
Yeah, I was in choir
in
my
band,
whole life.
Or were
yeah.
you in the jazz thing? Or?
I was in all of those things. Yeah, I was in a choir since.
Marching band?
I was in, like, the dance, the. She was in
there. I was in much of these.
We'll get there.
Well, just like the flag twirlers.
No,
but still musical, yeah.
Would you be surprised? Like, this is why Flea started his Silver Lake Music Conservatory. He went back to Fairfax High. They had no more music program. This is why I asked this.
Yeah.
It's different. You know, so I got to ask. Yeah. My pop said, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. That wasn't spelled by accident, boy. Anyway. Okay. So you had a lot of
absolutely
music at the home
mm-hmm.
and in the school. Mm-hmm. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
For myself, what record did I buy?
Is that going here?
I don't remember. I mean... Honestly, I don't remember.
Okay. What about first gig you went to? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Her name is Lima Vikuli. It was like when I was seven. She's okay. Like a...
You have to tell me. I can't read minds yet.
Uh-huh.
Until I get to that point, you got to use words.
Okay.
So you saw, what was she singing? Like a tradition?
Yeah, like pop music, like pop. Russian pop music.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play three times with the Stooges. And... we had some Russian rock and roll bands open up.
Yeah.
And interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. One of them was great. The bass guy, of course, I'm a little biased to it. He was wild, man, in Moscow. And it was 100 degrees. Yeah. It was a very rare day. The fires were burning.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this? Oh, no. You couldn't see a block down the street because the fires were so bad. I felt very bad. So what about the thing where it ain't your parents, it ain't school, it's like you get together with classmates and or friends, whatever, and do the basement band or the garage band?
Yeah, well, this is
the
it.
Young band.
This was it. I was basically, like, I wrote by myself a lot. I sort of isolated.
Yeah.
And these are the first people that I started actually playing with.
Okay, so as a kid, you never did the band stuff.
No.
Yeah, some people are like this.
Yeah.
Joe Biden starts guitar at 27.
Whoa.
Because of the movement.
Yeah.
You know, he sees these other people starting. So, yeah, he's drawers.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's, like I said, the journey. So, okay, so it's coming up to the band. Between mm-hmm. that, you're just doing everything alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I'll move on to you, Stephanie. Your earliest music memory.
Well, like you were talking about, like I didn't really grow up in a very musical family.
Okay.
Because my parents weren't really, just wasn't a thing.
Even listening?
No, yeah, no. Not even listening.
Do you have a early memory
not
of
really.
Music at all?
Not really. I remember when I met my...
Riding around the car and hearing the radio or some shit?
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Okay.
Okay, so I guess so. I don't know, like, you know, like, crappy, you know, Star 94.
Which is like...
Like,
commercial.
Just, yeah, commercial. Like the worst, poppiest crap.
That's a bad memory, no matter what.
That's not awful.
Well, what about school? Did you do the thing...
Well, I was in band and I was in orchestra, so I played saxophone and violin and... I always wanted to play drums, but my dad said that young ladies don't play drums. So, you know, hello. She's not an asshole or anything,
no,
but it was
no.
just traditional. It was just traditional. So,
Roll.
Yeah.
Getting out of roll. You know, rock and roll wasn't allowed for a
right.
while.
Totally. Like, I wasn't even allowed to watch The Simpsons.
Okay.
So, you know. But.
He was at a gig last week I did with Henry Kaiser.
Matt Gerland?
Yeah.
How funny.
We were doing, it was fucking a pants here. It was Love Supreme and Meditations. Fuck.
Yeah.
I was so scared. You know. I found out later. He said.
Cool.
So in school, then you learn to read and stuff? Were you in the marching band, like, for the football
I wasn't in marching band, just band. We, you know, we played around here and there, but... And I was awful at saxophone. I was just really, really awful.
What about violin?
I was pretty good at violin, though. But,
interesting, they're completely different.
I know.
In fact, they don't let saxes usually in the orchestra.
Well, I switched from band to orchestra just so I could sit with my friends at lunch.
Hey, so, I did a lot of stuff in school because of that.
Yeah. Just want to hang out with my friends. So.
There's a club. There's a small boat, though.
Yeah.
In the challenged room for the challenge students. And at lunchtime, we got to play chess and be all buzzed. No dice, right?
Right.
Chess is really brutal. Like, there's no luck.
No.
Just wait for the other guy to fuck up. So, were you in bands after school, like the garage band?
No, I got into, like, I guess say, like, punk rock and stuff like that from my friends in high school and stuff. And started
going to
shows. Huh? This was in Georgia. This was in Alpharetta, Georgia.
What big town is it by?
Atlanta.
Okay.
It's a suburb.
First place I played Atlanta was
Total Suburb Kid. Yeah, I was a total
suburb
kid. What?
688 was the first club I played in Atlanta.
No.
It was by the Yellow Jackets in Varsity.
Oh, by Georgia Tech.
There was something called, Georgia Tech. It's called, they changed its name to Metroplex or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. It's a little bit for you guys. It had a set list from Ig painted on the...
Really?
Okay, yeah.
Shut up.
So Atlanta always, in the first Minuteman gig at 688, we did a cable. Remember there'd be cable access shows? Mm-hmm. This guy had like an electric chair, like Alice Cooper or something. And because this tour, we thought we'd be cool... less sweaty.
Yeah.
Because the boat had no air conditioning, so we got bald haircuts. And this guy asked us if we were Nancy Skinny.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Like, no.
Damn.
No, I'm just hot. Just
sweaty. It didn't work. It was sweaty.
Yeah.
It was worse than long hair, but I mean, it was. Okay. So, you're talking about these guys were kind of the first, you were in some bands.
No.
You guys were the first band?
I was always, yeah, this was my first band, too. I was always, like, watching, like, my dude friends practice.
Yeah.
And being like, man, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I was like, I can do that, but I can do that.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was kind of intimidating.
Sure, of course.
You know? And it's not, I don't know if it's because, you know, no, it's a female thing. It's just intimidating to learn an instrument, you know?
To do it in front of people.
In front of the class. Yeah. No, yeah, it's like giving a speech or something.
Flies all open. Okay. I'm about to play Captain's Dead.
I know we had a good time. I know it was a good ride. And I'll see you on the other side. Yeah, I'll see you on the other side. Captain of the Dixie Cup. You thought you had it all, but you
the dreams was too much for you to hold. Now over and over I keep going over the world we knew. Days when you used to love me.
Watt from Pedro Show. You just heard Down Down by the Coat Hangers. And before that, we had Deletions with Weird Objects. I think they're Philly. Graph with Che Mod. You get some Peter words in there. 666, Netherlands. Guided by Voices, Einstein's Angel. Yeah, Bob Pollard. I think it's his 102nd record.
Wow. Yeah,
the 100th one was a double album. This incredible cat. Lauren before that, Rarities album, Ash. Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne ahead of that with Joe McCarthy's Ghost was his Minuteman song. Professor Huge, I think he's the Greensboro guy. Because that was the last gig we did on that tour, Minuteman tour with R.E.M. was Charlotte. It was still interesting, even with that fuck shit. And then, the four guys were great.
Yeah.
Still House Plants from Glasgow with Is It? Live Cafe Odo. You ever play there in London? Good pad. Tafalco, brand new record, The World We Knew, and started it off with Captain's Dead, The Coat Hangers. So, Meredith, your earliest musical recollection.
I think my dad always, classic rock, like the Beatles, I think, is like the
You're
first.
In the Beatles.
Yeah. All the time. At my parents' house. Yeah, all the time.
Where, still. And making music? With your instruments?
My dad played guitar, but not, we just found his acoustic guitar, actually, in the basement, but not all the time.
So it wasn't up there where you could just bang and strum?
No.
What about school?
I was in marching band.
All right.
From sixth grade through clarinet.
Clarinet. That's
yeah.
What I
wish I still had my clarinet.
I tried to, I wanted to do sax with 50 other guys, so it's a reed, so they give me a clarinet.
Yeah.
And it was seventh grade and junior high, and Mr. Luna was a teacher. And at 10 weeks, right, they call them electives. So are you going to get to take the next 10 weeks? And he's like, Mr. Watt, you try hard, but maybe you should stop wasting your time and my time.
Aww.
And then rest of the class, our time.
Oh, my God. In front of the class?
Annihilated.
Hey.
I never heard another music thing in school again.
I'm going to kill myself.
That same the summer right before the seventh grade, in between. Because that's how it went in those days. They went to six, kindergarten to six and then seventh to nine. I had met D. Boone. So, actually, I was already enrolled in another music program without knowing it. His mother put me on the bass. I didn't even know what the fuck it was. But there's something about the licorice stick.
Yeah.
It used to be really pop. No, because it was like oboe and cuts through, like Artie Shaw. I mean, it was popular swing band.
In high school, not I was embarrassed, but like marching band. Yeah. You know, I was like, this is dorky. But now I'm like, I wish I still had. I might buy clarinet.
Last week I went to the Lunar Parade, Chinatown, and the one from Emos was there, Wellington. They're called the Pilots, Banning Pilots. Phineas Banning, he invented the harbor. He's from Wilmington, Delaware. That's why it's called Wilmington.
Huh.
And I was so proud of them.
Yeah.
You know, the flags, all the stuff, the batons and the bands. Kicking up rhythm sections, too. And these guys were twirling their saxes.
Oh, awesome.
My days, that's what they put the booze bottles in. But I heard the hardest was the French horn and trumpets.
Because
while you're mounting.
Yeah.
So you did that in school, clarinet, in many years?
Yeah, from sixth grade till I think my junior year.
So you learned reading and all that. Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the basement band, the garage band?
First
thing. Okay, that's so fucking great. Your first thing is this.
Mm-hmm. I never picked up a bass until
I never played drums.
Yeah, so.
Fuck it.
But not even being in a band, period.
Yeah.
Except school bands.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's really interesting. Well, let's talk about the Coat Hangers. How they come?
Right? I don't know. I was living in Hollywood for a while. I went to Musicians Institute. I thought I wanted to be a tour manager. Yeah. And then I did that for a minute, and it was awful. And I was like, fuck this, I was like, I want to be able to get drunk and play, you know? So I moved back to Atlanta, and then we just started, we just started fucking around. We set up, I stole a drum kit. I stole my first drum kit from this guy who I had stolen my bike.
Oh, so you stole it back.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you meet?
Well, we went to high school together.
Ah, okay.
So we had known each other already, and then she was living with Kent, and then you guys worked together.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we were all friends before. And then we just started, like, fucking around.
Well, when was the first time all three of you played together? Like a prac, right?
Well,
it wasn't like practice. We would get drunk and sort of fuck
just
around.
Have fun.
Yeah. And so we would make all these really stupid songs. And then.
But you were doing. Now, I got to tell you, our first thing playing together was copying off records. You guys started writing right away.
Yeah.
I was bitching. No, that's what I loved about the Urinals. There's a band from the old days called the Urinals.
Yeah.
These guys, they drew straws to who was going to play what. They totally knew that this, I think in the dorm, they were film students at UCLA, and they just went for it. And we were so inspired by that. Because from our days in the 70s, right, I'm 13 in 1970, mm-hmm. so my whole teen life is 70s.
Yeah.
They weren't that avid.
Real
self-involved narcissist.
Oh, yeah.
Like this douchebag. Yeah. Back in the 70s, there was a lot of that.
Okay.
Like, you wouldn't listen to shit 3 or 4 years old.
Huh.
You know, yeah, nothing. Like, now kids will listen to, what's Black Sabbath's over 40 years old, right? There's no problem. You think we were listening to what, Charlie Patton?
Right.
I wish. Fucking, we weren't. We were very narrow. And then everyone we knew copied songs off records, or 8-tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And 8-tracks was hard because you
have to right.
So, with a record, at least you can move the, toad arm.
You got to wait for it.
Yeah, you got to wait. It was very difficult. Also, they cut off, like, they divide the whole program by four, and so it just cut, you know, maybe that's when we get the short, I know we got it from Wire, but it was like that, time for this one, Dad,
yeah.
Just because of the limitation of the tape. It was strange, these cartridges. But you guys started writing right away, mm-hmm. That's bitching. See, I've learned that about the movement. A lot of people didn't know how to do it, so they just let the freak flag fly.
Yeah.
Okay, when do you come up with the name Coat Hangers?
We were driving back from an anti-Bush rally, actually. We went to D.C.
Which one? Older one or younger one?
The younger one, yeah. And we were like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if we started a band, like, and theorizing stuff. And then we were like, the Coat Hangers. And then I looked it up on AllMusic. I looked to see if there were any bands called the Coat Hangers, and there weren't. So we were like, okay, well, now we have a name. Now we got to, like, start maybe solidifying some songs.
Yeah, when
like
you think of Coat Hanger, what do you think of?
Well, of course, Coat Hanger abortions.
Yeah. That's the way I was raised. It was almost a code.
Yeah.
Like, don't let women have to do this.
Of course, yeah. Okay. And it was so, like, yeah, a lot of people, maybe they're, like, naive or whatever, be like, oh, is it because you like clothes? It's like, uh-huh, whatever.
You know what we use Coat Hangers for? Cleaning out the peepa.
Yeah.
Bombs, right? Yeah. Straighten them out. But that's always what
people
name bands for different reasons. But, yeah, it's kind of a thing, man. Let's be smart about this.
It was, like, a strong name, and we felt, like, pretty angry at that point.
Sure,
and
sure.
It was, like, we were early 20s, and, like, I was in college for the first time. Like looking at the world in a bigger picture and figuring out what constructs I had made up in my mind that I wanted to break. And so there's a lot of frustration. I was like, fucking Coat Hangers, let's scream, let's do this, let's, you know, and then we just started doing that, and we didn't really want to play out. And
I was going to ask you, what was the first gig like?
We got a practice space and had invited her brother over, and they were like, oh, you guys should play a show. And we were like, no, it's okay. We don't need to play shows. And they're like, no, you're going to play a show. So,
this is after you saw you practice.
Yeah. And so we booked this show, and we were hoping it was going to get canceled. Like, we were terrified.
There was a house show first.
Yeah. So there's a Halloween house show, and like we did as a practice for the real gig show.
Halloween, so it was like
we were dressed up.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've done many Halloween. Last few Halloweens, I ain't funny, but I did almost 28 or 29 in a row.
Whoa.
Always wore a costume, or at least something over my fucking head.
Yeah, yeah.
Made it impossible to breathe.
Yeah, the mask right don't nose. Laugh.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Tuesday. Yeah, it is Tuesday. February 19th. Studio show, special guest, Coat Hangers. Hold tight for hour two. February 19th, 2019. It's the second hour of the Watt Fibiro Show.
Blackburn took his last breath. When I see the stocks fall, small smiles double cross my heart. When I see the stocks fall, small smiles double cross my heart. Without people are too dependent. Without people are too dependent on this game of abstract numbers and rules. That smell sounds like a dream, feels like ideas look too perfect to believe. We disregard the connections that never fail to prevail, persuade and engage. It's the permanence of change that governs. We take too lightly our reverent positions. Through decisions and back and out. But think about countless settlers, creatures before us. Oh, thinking that no one's taken, known full well that one can't tell, cause the trail's been beaten down by all that's come before. Like that smell sounds like a dream,
feels like I just look too perfect to believe. When I see the stocks fall, small smile, double cross my heart. We the people, we the people, we the people. We the people, we the people, we the people, we the people, we the people are too dependent on this game of abstract numbers and rules.
Yeah.
Wat for Pedro show. We started the second hour off with Trailer Park Boneyard. And I was telling the ladies here, we have a trailer park. And it's kind of the waiting room for the Boneyard because it's a lot for older people. It's not so much. There's a good view of the cliffs there, too, that a lot of people don't know off Stargazer. You know, I've been here 52 years. I'm from Virginia. Huh. Well, Vietnam, a lot closer here, so my papa's a sailor. But I know lots of stuff here that people born here don't know.
Uh-huh.
I'm part of the San Pedro Bay Historical Society.
Oh. Cool.
So, yeah. I like Virginia, you know, and stuff, but on tour.
Right. Yeah. Get the hell out of there.
Well, you know, honeysuckle and crab apples, fireflies, and sweaty summers, freezing winters. So visit on tour. Then we had Rooster Cogburn from Spain. That's Petra's brother, Josh.
Cool.
Thalm with Pat's been beaten down, a chronic anxiety arbiter. this one too, A-L-L-I-E, but they're from Japan, so I wonder how they would pronounce it. Romaji, it would be Aliyah, but maybe it's Ally. But Ally is plural with I-E. So that's a challenge. And the song is called Touch. We play with a band up in the city, San Francisco, called Uncle Bob Touched Me.
Oh,
that's the music. It's interesting, but the name was like
interesting.
And then finally, the Coathangers with Hurricane. Harkin. Okay, so that gig, the Halloween gig, how'd it go? It went good, right?
I was, you know, something. We got through it, basically. Yeah. It was like just.
I call those pan shooters.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of people?
Yeah, there was. Okay. Yeah, I mean.
Because if there's not anybody there, we call those character builders.
Yeah.
Or practice.
Oh, we prayed. Yeah, practice.
We call it practice.
Right. Sean Coltrane would prack after the gigs.
Yeah?
Out of his mind about prack. You know, there's just. Miles Davis talks about the story. Miles, I can't stop playing. What can I do? Well, you take the motherfucking mouthpiece out your motherfucking mouth.
Game over.
Yeah, bingo. What did that lead up to? What about the first recordings?
Well, see, that's what. So the second show, the actual show, we play with our friends. And then at that show, this guy, Mark, comes up and he says, do you guys want to put out a 7-inch? And I was like, oh, my God, we made it. We're going to put out a 7-inch.
Well, you also were saying, why do we have to do gigs? But
yeah.
Like a Steely Dan thing where they just made records for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, this guy wants to go into a studio.
So we go into a studio.
Which one?
We went to Nickel and Dime.
It's not.
It was like a really old, they closed it down.
Yeah.
But like Johnny Cash had played there and B-52s, had a lot of history.
B-52s were Athens, huh?
Yeah, Athens.
Cool thing.
And we just recorded
like
a day.
Well,
that was for the first record.
Oh, that was the record,
I don't remember where we recorded that 7-inch. Maybe it was at someone's house.
Okay.
It must have been at someone's house,
I don't
like super lo-fi. Maybe Lamar?
Like cassette 4-track.
Yeah, like super duper lo-fi.
Yeah, because Nickel and Dime was the record.
Yeah, the record then came after that, and they were like, do you want to put out a record?
You mean the record, like 12-inch?
Like a 12-inch, yeah. And so they're like, and we're like, oh shit, we got to write a lot of songs and know how to play them. So we went in overnight and did it in 2 nights because our friend let us do the like 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift for free or discounted.
Yeah, we call it downtime. It'd be half.
Yeah.
When we had to go up to Hollywood, you know, we'd even buy used tape because the 2-inch was 15 minutes at 30 ips and cost $150.
Wow.
Use tape though, $75. You just
we've
done that before.
Yeah, we've done that.
And then the downtime, midnight to 8.
Yeah.
So that would be more economical.
Yeah.
Shit, we would record the tunes in order so we didn't spend money on sequence.
That's
smart. Well, we're economical.
Yeah.
And also, shit costs more to do. The way making music now is much more economical.
Yeah, it is.
Like you could do it in houses.
Yeah.
And shit.
Yeah.
And like good shit, like a Pro Tool HD rig and a fucking pad. I want to play a Derek song.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell me about this Derek song?
Derek used to be one of our best friends, and unfortunately he passed away, but yeah, heroin, man, don't do heroin, but it's like I've written three or four songs for that. Four songs. So this is just one of them.
Okay, right? You know, Herbie Flowers, great bass player. Walking the Wild Side.
Mm-hmm.
He did that with two basses, stand up and a left.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know.
Well, why do I keep asking you that? I don't know. I'm shocked.
You're just
lying. Can't believe
you.
He's lying to us.
He's lined up on it.
Wow. Cool.
He said his advice was, don't play too many notes, don't do drugs. Okay, here we are. Derek Song.
Time. Thank you. Thank you.
Fever Show, FNRA, you just heard. And before that, Aaron Oppenheim with Fourth. Lord, can you hear me? Ahead of that was Bonsai Universe. That's Woody, Too Real, local guitar guy. Pretty incredible. Remorse Code with the Figurative Cliffs. Such a sophisticated title. You know? Figurative Cliffs.
They read. They read.
Morse code. You'd be like Morse code, you know, but yeah. Morse. It's supposed to be Morse. Yeah, I don't know. And then we start off Derek's song, Coat Hangers. So when you got in there, did you work with a producer?
Yeah, an engineer producer.
Okay.
A guide, because we were just like,
you're brand new. Yeah, yeah.
So green.
You're doing it, and how long did it take?
2 days, two nights.
And then mixed?
I think we recorded first night and mixed the second night.
Okay, so the whole thing done.
Yeah.
That's double nickels on the dime, 48 mm-hmm. songs mixed in one night.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're little songs. And it also was 8-track, so there was a lot of stuff to mix. Half of it was the drums.
Right.
Right, and then a singing, a bass, and a guitar.
Yeah.
But he did it all one night, Ethan James. Great cat. Great cat. Cancer got him. He ended up, last gigs he got was playing hurdy-gurdy for the San Francisco Philharmonic.
Oh, cool. So
not hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah.
Work that into the band. You know? Yeah, people do, but not a lot of symphonies, maybe. So, one day, did you go out and tour it?
Yeah, actually our first tour was October of that year, 2007, with this band called Demon's Claws, and we went up all the way up, did we go up to Canada? I can't remember, but up the East Coast and down and did the
thing.
So it
was mainly, it was that side of the Mississippi River.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because there's hell rides to get to our side.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's got to be a serious tour. But you eventually did get out here. Now you're living here.
Yeah.
Now, how would that happen?
When we got out here, or how did we end up living here?
Well,
I mean, you know, as the records went on and as we went and got, like, just toured more, came out here and just started touring. I really don't know how we ended up doing this for 13 years. It was kind
because
of like,
you know,
a snowballed.
To tour from here is tough. I mean, there's the coast, but then it's like Billy and the Descendants.
Mm-hmm.
He moves to Fort Collins because it's in the middle.
It's in the middle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. But you're still in Texas. Yeah.
December. It's snowing. You know, of course, you're going to live in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, but it is a little more central.
Well, we're bi-coastal because
we still live
they
in
live in Atlanta and
oh!
I live out here.
Yeah.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's kind of bad.
It kind of works out, yeah.
Have a home base in
both
places. It kind of works. It does.
Yeah. It works out. It's weird. I
like to practice
really,
big gaps in between pracs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably before a record or before a tour, you get out there and
that's exactly what we're doing right now, yeah.
Is that what you're doing now?
Yeah, we've been practicing for the past couple of days, and then we started off on Wednesday.
Why? Is there a recording coming up?
We're touring.
We're touring.
We got a new record.
We're practicing all the new jams.
Mm-hmm. Got it for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Pam, the most recent thing she gave me was live.
Yeah. So
that's
it hasn't come out yet. Don't put it on the internet yet.
No. Although Bimbo, I'm going to play.
Yeah,
next
That was it was the same.
And
FNRA. And I got another one coming up.
Oh, yeah. That's on here, too. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, bad people, you can't see this, but I'm looking at it.
Soon enough.
Can't see you.
Soon enough, you'll see it.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Reminds me of just the lady in the Royal Trucks, a little bit, Jennifer. It says the second hour of February 19, 2019, Dish Watt, Peter Show special guest, Coat Hanger, signing tight for hour three. February 19, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt for Peter Show.
goddamn sound. Silent movie showing, ice and drizzle blowing. I'll have the clams and the french fried man. That's all I have by way of a plan. The Meandering and Darling are up next in this ambitious text. Away the nearest town. Every hour is happy hour for introversion in the round. Hail fellow, quite well met. Now move along and write your sonnet. I'm reading last week's funny but too bad. Then I'll step up and slack. True, I got a problem with you. We can take it outside, but the dice flow isn't all that wise. Precious illusions of space and the absence of the human race. How about another round of time without sound, and we can knock it down.
I can meet you on your lunch hour if you want to discuss what's in our future and were we and us. Are we and us? But clogging the cafe.
Prince even fucking did this. I was doing this, and I invited Brian Eno over to my house, and I showed it to him, and I said, look what I fucking did. On face. Derek Tronix. It's got a much better ring to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
From this day forward, on this special occasion, with which I got a term for this, I want you to know it is Derek Tronix.
Thank you.
Watt from Pete Rose Show. We started off the third hour with Coat Hangers doing Nosebleed Weekend. Yeah, what's a Nosebleed Weekend?
Well, could be a couple of things.
Ronnie got a nosebleed at a gig we had in France on his B-Day. Me and him have chow in the morning, and then he gets this nosebleed and would not stop. They had to have a doctor come and, like...
Cauterize it?
Yeah, cauterize it.
Yeah, I get really glad.
They put a leather kind of thing in there.
Yeah.
She gets them all the time.
It was a symptom of high blood pressure, because 6 months later, passed away, the heart attack. He never went to
the doctor. Well, yeah, I used to get really bad nosebleeds. Yeah.
So whenever I see Nosebleed, I need to connect with the Ronnie.
Yeah.
And then his B-Day was on the day John Coltrane died. Mm-hmm. Well, not the exact day. That's day of the month.
Right.
This is John Coltrane, 1967. Some things I can't remember, see?
Yeah,
you remember a lot.
Come on.
And then in my favorite lounge, A Time with Sound from Dan Jones, Kansas City. Chris Butler out of Cleveland. Or is he in Akron now? But they're close. Mommy Go. Yeah, Father Figures out of Phoenix with Controls Broken. Julie Slick out of Philly. Great basses. None More 11. And it was live. And finally, Drive by the Coat Hangers. Now, I got to say, the first time I heard Drive was watching video. You guys have made many official videos. People, I'm not talking about, you know, the leash, the phone things that sounds like all moving around and shit, and blurry and out of focus. I'm talking about like these guys, ladies have put together visuals to go to their songs. And in fact, they say official. You know, you see this one or two, but I saw you guys 8 or 9 of these things, and even more. So when was the first one made?
It was for the first record, I think Parcheesi or Tanya Harding or one of those. Okay. And what's been really nice is we just working with friends and different artists to see what their vision would be, you know. That's the best part about making videos.
It wasn't like designing it for MTV.
Yeah. Like, we weren't really, you know, a lot of it. We didn't even put our faces on our records until Nosebleed. So we weren't really into being, like, focus of attention, but we felt like, you know, we just needed visuals, and we like videos, and our dream is always to make a video for every song on the record.
Wow.
But we just ran out of time.
Sonic Youth did that for Daydream.
Yeah, I think we might do it for this record.
Yeah, there's a song, I think it might be one of the first songs, but Thurston made a song of me fucking calling him up. They make a video for it.
That's funny.
So he writes all the spiel. You know, I didn't know I was in the studio. I'm calling. But where they lived, they throw the keys down to get a sock because there's no doorbell. There's a payphone there. So. And then they takes another call when I'm next day in Providence, Rhode Island. And put them together, and that's what it's called. So he's got the words written on papers and the camera slowly on the deck and you hear this piano. It's so weird.
Trippy.
That's cool.
They did it for every tune, so maybe.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, every song has a different vibe.
Now, Bimbo is the first song on this record, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's coming.
Yes.
The Devil You Know.
Uh-huh.
We're going to play that. You want to say anything about it?
It's... No.
I'm a dumb.
Watch the Pingo Show. Last music for this edition. You just heard Adderall by Coat Hangers. Ahead of that was Henry Kaiser with Bill Frisell. Something live of them playing together, the very last of the very few. And Henry Kaiser's the guy that did that Coat Train show with last week. And he just wrote me and asked something, do something in New York City with Ornette Coleman's DiNardo, his son on the drum. Hmm. So, yeah, scary. Talking about pants shooters. And then start off with, ahead of that was National Debt with Feeling Kind of Frippinino. That's Crane. He used to live here. Well, he's from the Hill, and now he lives in Idaho. You the pimp, right? Then we start. I lived there for a little bit because there was a reactor there. Actually, went critical.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. My pop told me about it. And my mom would say fish stories and shit. And sure enough, this SRC-1. Weird story behind it. But Atomic City was the first little town lit up by a reactor. Oh, and, start off with Bimbo. But go to. And then tell me about this new record. Where was it recorded?
In L.A.
Where?
Valentine Recording Studios.
What is that? Silver Lake?
It's more like the Valley. It's like off the 101 off of the. What?
You don't know what town?
Valley Village.
Valley Village, something like
that. By Studio City in Burbank.
Yeah.
I recorded my first off in Burbank.
But it's a cool studio. It's old and.
And then mixed it in Glendale next door. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of these pads. What was it called?
Valentine's.
Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. You liked it.
Love it.
Okay.
It's like stepping into it. Back in time, because it hadn't been touched since, 1970 something?
Wow, because that kind of gear has to be...
They were using it as a storage unit. Because the guy who, Mr. Valentine, who, like, used to record, like, big band stuff, and,
big band, so he goes...
Yeah,
okay.
It's a huge live room, and then he has, like, a smaller one, but... Anyways, so, they just didn't know what they had on their hands, and they had all this, like, original tape equipment and machines and recording, so it's great.
How long? Was it 2 days?
2 weeks? Two weeks.
2 weeks?
Uh-huh.
Mix and record?
Mm-hmm.
And,
for the most part.
Did you do any writing in the studio, or did you come with songs?
You know, always kind of finishing up, rounding off the edges. I think in the studio, but
this time we pretty much had.
We came prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know some bands that come with no songs, and so you're paying that money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and then you're just there's too much pressure and you're just like shit. Yeah. So.
Okay,
so we came prepared this time, but
we'll
it's cool.
Right in the practice.
Yeah.
And producer.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Mr. Nick Jodin.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that like? His first time working with him?
No, we did Nosebleed Weekend with him, too.
Okay.
And that was the first time we worked with him.
There also.
You must have liked doing it, because you did.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Because
he pushes us, you know, to like, oh, is that what you're going to do? You know, and he's French Canadian, so he's like, is that all you're going to do? Like, you know. And like, I don't know. He pushes me in a good way, at least.
My buddy Larry, that did the last couple of years of drums with the Stooges, he saw Buddy Rich when he was 9.
Yeah.
And Buddy had a microphone. He's like, wow, Buddy's going to sing. He's using the microphone to...
Order everyone around?
to make them kind of order.
Yeah.
One guy could do a solo. Yeah. One guy finished a solo. He'd get out there. Is that all you got? Yeah, give me a break. Yeah. You know, every solo was... Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yes, guys. On the PA. He's got some good stories about that. You meet him on the bus after the show. There's a long old line. He keeps hearing, Stats! Stats! And then finally it's his turn, and down at the back of the bus, a buddy in a pink bathrobe, and the troop is like, skewed. He's just staring down at the thing with a Sharpie and magic marker in his hand. And Larry's got the record. Mr. Richard, the reason why, the whole fucking rigmarole, why I started drums, why I keep going, inspiration. Mm-hmm. Buddy's just down there. And he takes the record, scribble, next! That's what he was hearing, him just... Like, no eye contact, no shit. Yeah.
Jesus. So terrifying.
I know. You know what? He stuck with drums, so it was.
There you go.
It might have been like a farmer wants a good crop, so he uses a lot of manure. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Negative reinforcement.
Something right.
Like that. So then you like getting a little push. Instead of, oh, yeah, it's all great, you know. Yeah, like, you'd like to phone it in. Jim said that once. How does that feel? So I did a whole song over the phone, the last song on the last Minute record. I covered up Rocky Erickson, Bermuda. Nice. And I phoned it in. Yeah, I did it on the answering machine.
What?
Yeah.
Nice.
I did that before Thurston.
Yeah, right.
His answering machine. So, you get, right now the album's done. It's about to come out when?
March 8th.
March 8th. And then there's a tour around it. Where can people find out about you on the internet?
TheCoatHangers.com.
Okay, and that's TheCoatHangers.com.
Yes, sir.
That's so great you got your own website, because I know there's other telephone poles to stick flyers on.
Yeah.
Shitter, Instant Ham, and Fake Look. All kinds of stuff, right? But having your own site is, to me, like ethics of fanzines.
Yeah.
No filter, no middle.
Man. Yeah.
You know, gatekeepers shit. Right? And that's why I thought was going to happen. Everyone was going to have their own website. Everybody had their own fanzine. No, we all be at these fucking corny merch things.
Yeah.
Oh, humans, they're trippy. Little Richard sold way fewer copies of Tutti Frutti than Pat Boone. What the fuck is that about? That's 1955, right, or something. This is the way we are. Need a conspiracy.
Because
sometimes, you know, we let the freak flag fly, and the other times we're fighting to get the sheep clothes on. You know, that nail that sticks up gets hammered down. All right. It's a big honor for me to have you guys born.
Thank you so much.
Love your band. I like what you're doing now. I know the story behind it. I'm even more into it. It's incredible. And that you kept on keeping on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. That means so much.
Well,
it really does.
People's been, you're very welcome. It's been February 19, 2019, Dishawap Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.